Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Thanks for joining us one more time. Thanks for hitting the download button. And we hope if you are checking in, listening to us, whether it's for the first time or a regular listener, hope you would tell a friend. We appreciate it. We're trying to grow this thing a little bit. It's all for free. We don't make anything off of it. Just the way we enjoy doing something a little extra with our time. Hope you enjoy it as well. I'm Pastor Dave. Sitting with me is Randall, the Armor Bearer, Retail Randall. That may be your new name, Retail Randall.
Retail Randall.
And we are...
They That Believe.
And this is where church culture meets pop culture. We talk current events, world news, entertainment news, geek news, all filtered through a lens of lifestyle Christianity. I come in from work last night, and Gretchen's watching television, and it's we're recording this on a Sunday. It was Saturday night. Saturday Night Live is on. It was a repeat.
Oh.
Matthew McConaughey was hosting.
All right.
But he was wearing his shirt. He didn't have his shirt off.
Be a lot cooler if you did.
I'm sure if I watched it long enough, he probably took his shirt off.
I'm sure. Yeah, it's for Saturday Night Live. He's got to be in character.
With his bongos. All right. But he's cool. I dig McConaughey. Well, here's the thing. The musical guest was Adele. And, man, are we done with her yet? Where do you stand with the Adele?
You know, really, modern music is kind of not good at all. So I try to stay away from it as much of it as possible, unless the girls have me listen to something in the car. But, you know, I really can't get into any of it.
I'm just not sure why we're not done with her. Mm-hmm. Look, she sings great. Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't think she can't sing, or I'm not taking away from her talent or anything like that. Actually, it's probably a whole perfect storm of many different things.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got like one speed.
Mm-hmm.
You hear the first song, the second song, here's her new song, and it's kind of like
it's all the same song, it seems like.
Sort of. To that, I'm just not down with, you know, an adult that can't move on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you're, and I don't know how old she is. I meant to look that up. If you're, you know, Taylor Swift.
I think her and Taylor Swift are the same age.
Really?
I think so.
Could they be?
I think they are.
Let me look that up real quick. Hang on a second.
She's not old, from what I remember.
Well, maybe I'm thinking that she's older than she is. Okay, there's Taylor Swift, singer-songwriter, born 1989.
And you're what, 27?
26. I thought, like, Adele was in her 30s. And that may just poop all over my point there.
Uh-oh. Dead space.
88.
Oh, so 1 year
she's
apart.
She's 29, 28.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. That's old enough.
That's the cutoff. If you're 27, totally different than me.
That's old enough. I'm still gonna feel comfortable within the window I've created to make my point.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing. You're an adult and you're close enough to 30. I thought she was over 30. You're close enough to 30 to move on.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mind a relationship song. You know, the 23, 24-year-old Taylor Swift, John Mayer, he wrote a lot of those songs early in his career.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't write them now.
Right.
He's matured. Deeper. He's actually, if you've seen or listened to him lately, he's turned into Neil Young, which
is very strange.
When did John Mayer become Neil Young? But anyway, we'll get to him later.
Well, you'd think
later.
That you'd have some sort of growth as a musician. You know, you start out maybe doing some of that stuff, but you think you would grow at some point during your career. You wouldn't just stay stagnant the whole time.
Yeah, again, John Mayer wrote a lot of songs like that, Love Song for No One, and stuff like that. Taylor Swift, of course, famous for writing songs about ex-boyfriends.
Breakup songs.
But Adele's she even exists in a different place, and it's like, I can't move on, I can't get on with my life, I'm still hung up on all this mess, and I can only handle so much of that, mm-hmm. I guess. And song after song after song, the other part of that is, too, when you can't get away from something,
mm-hmm.
it's like everywhere I turn around, I hear her.
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere I turn around, I see her. Those songs are constantly playing. I had a fit one day here in the house. I had to finally scream at everybody to quit singing it Gretchen walk around the, she'd be in one room and she'd go, hello. And Nate would go, it's me. And this went on for weeks.
Like living in a Disney musical.
It was a call and response, you know? And, again, not that she can't sing, but I'm ready. Let's have something different. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand why people continue to buy the same thing. And you got to think she's got to be this way. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sitting there watching her on Saturday Night Live, and of course she's singing Hello again. Mm-hmm. And I can just picture, you know, in her dead eyes, she's thinking, if I have to sing this song one more time, I'm going to throw myself out the nearest window.
Do you think, I mean, because like, whenever I think of the songwriting process and the music process, I think of like Led Zeppelin out there writing a song and then playing the song. I think today, though, they just kind of like give them the song they want to hear and they play it. And if it takes off, they give them another song that sounds like it.
There is a lot of that. And mm-hmm. there is a market and there is a career niche for good writers.
Because, I mean, I don't think Adele wrote any of those songs that she sings.
I don't know. I think maybe one or two, maybe hers, actually. Yeah. But without knowing about her specifically, if I step back, then that kind of ruins my other examples. Because John Mayer actually, you know, writes most, if not all, of his things. He's got a partner that he writes with. And, oh, man, I cannot think of that guy's name. Whenever you see both of their names together, mm-hmm. it's really good. He writes some of his best stuff with this guy. He was an old college buddy, I think.
Yeah.
And Taylor Swift, as far as I know, she writes a lot of hers. Now, they're kind of just three-chord mm-hmm. songs. They're not especially complicated or whatever, but props for in doing her own thing and making her own material. Mm-hmm. But I told Gretchen, I said, you know, I would love to hear something radically different, to hear a song come on and go, whoa, what's that? That sure sounds like Adele, but it can't be.
Right.
Well, it is. And, it, you know, some kind of completely, I don't know if it needs to have a hard rock sound or just something beyond that mournful piano that we hear over mm-hmm. and over and again. It brings me down. I can't take it. Mm-hmm. And I'm generally not an unhappy person as much as I complain on here. But as far as real life things go, mm-hmm. I'm not into listening to an adult. Again, if you're a teenager or you're 20-something, I'm willing to give you a pass, but at 28, 29 years old, kind of time to move on. And it makes you think, is this all you think about?
Right.
Do you just live in this world? Now, somebody's going to message me or take me to task and go, well, you should listen to the whole album. She's got a song about
puppies and kittens.
Right, whatever. Yeah, yeah.
You know, you think about, like, I think about high school and, like, Alanis Morissette was really big when I was in high school.
Yeah.
You remember like that song, that ironic song? Is, you know, and every one of us has got some relationship in the past that's like Alanis Morissette was the mm-hmm. anthem to that
you
relationship.
You ought to know.
Yeah.
You ought to know. That was the big one. And
yeah,
the kind of in your face ex-boyfriend, mm-hmm. I'm here to remind you, and you left me. And, you know, I get it. I'm not even saying that like people shouldn't write those kind of songs or, mm-hmm. you know, Love Gone Bad or. It just seems like it has an height requirement on an age limit. You're too tall to ride this ride.
Yeah.
Hey, Dale.
You must have at least 10 cats and an open bottle of wine in your refrigerator before you can buy this song.
That's kind of what I think of. That's kind of what I think of. And, and is that who it appeals to? I mean, I know young people in and around her age, in her demographic, I wondered when we were having this conversation with Gretchen, I was kind of giving her this same lecture about Adele. You know, are middle-aged women listening to this? Mm-hmm. Are the soccer moms driving around listening to this? Because it just seems there's an immaturity to it.
Yeah.
Now, maybe that's a little harsh, mm-hmm. but I guess that's kind of what I've been circling that for a while, so maybe I just need to land on it.
You know, I think that the music business has probably just changed so much since we were growing up that, you know, I mean, I can't imagine how it works anymore. I haven't bought a CD in years and downloaded something from iTunes or whatever. I mean, how much of that gets back to? I don't know how it all works now, I guess. And maybe that's part of it, is that you find a niche, one niche song that everybody likes, and you just sell the heck out of it on iTunes or whatever you're doing.
Yeah, the cycle is definitely the cycle in which music enters mm-hmm. the cultural view is much faster from the way it's introduced to the time it's consumed and to the time it leaves. It's very quick.
Yeah, I mean, I would have never bought a CD for one good song. I mean, it had to be a couple of good songs on the CD for me to even plop $10 down to buy it.
Yeah, there's a science to that. You typically, like, you may pick two or three that you want to release, at least two off an album, mm-hmm. that you want to release as singles. And usually the first single that you would release should be a weaker song.
Mm-hmm.
There's a science to it. It's funny because a lot of times, I remember when John Mayer, come back to him, he released Continuum, and he argued and argued and argued with the record company because they wanted to release Daughters as the first single.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up getting a Grammy for that. And I remember in his Grammy acceptance speech, you know, he told that story very quickly, mm-hmm. and he thanked everybody, and he said, I still don't think it was the right single. He was still not going to come off that, you
right.
know.
Uh-huh.
There's a science behind that. I knew somebody back, I guess, in the 80s who told me this story about, I think he was in a shopping mall or something, and it was in the Nashville area. And there's somebody with some lady-looking official with a clipboard and a pen, and come over here, and would you like to participate? Mm-hmm. And what they were doing was, we want you to listen to this song, and there's a little dance that goes with it. Would you be interested in learning this dance or taking a moment to look at this? And so they listen to the song, they learn this dance, and what happens is, what they're doing, and so they did this. Imagine doing this for hundreds of people, thousands mm-hmm. of people. I don't know where else they might have done it, right. if they did it outside the Nashville area. 6 months later, mm-hmm. 3 months later, whatever the window is, wasn't long, but there was a window.
Mm-hmm.
Achy Breaky Heart comes out. Okay?
Uh-huh.
So now you've got people, you've planted Confederates. That
I know the moves to that.
That know the two-step, that know that. You see yeah. what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
It's tactically positioned to be a success. Now, of course, that doesn't go into everything. It doesn't happen.
See, I always wondered that. When I was a kid, I used to hang out at this place called the Cotton Eye Joe in Knoxville.
Mm-hmm.
And it's world famous. But anytime a new song would come on, people would know the dance that went with it. And it's like,
yeah,
how do you figure that out? The song just came out. How do you all get together and line dance in a row? The same dance for the song that just came out 2 days ago.
Maybe some of that's going on. Of course, now what an unintended consequence of that was too, the line dancing movement or fad or whatever. So then people are learning standalone dances or maneuvers or steps or whatever that I guess then can go and apply to, you know, any basic 12-bar blues song or country western song or whatever. So, you know, I don't know. The latest thing I read was that a group of Adele's ex-boyfriends are actually getting together to record an album. Did you hear that?
That would be awesome.
You know I'm setting you up for something.
Yes, I know.
I hear the early buzz on the album title will be Maybe You're the Problem.
I think Taylor Swift had one of those a couple years ago, didn't she?
Yeah, right. get her boyfriend. The good news about that is I might buy that album because she's had some very talented boyfriends.
Yes.
It would be called John Mayer's last album. I wonder if she, you think she's responsible for turning him into Neil Young?
Probably.
Well, it's just a maturity though. He's growing up.
Isn't she going out with Loki now? Tom Hiddleston.
Oh, dude, I have no idea.
I think I saw that the other day.
I don't keep up with
Taylor and
who's
Tom.
Who's dating who? Who's
Taylor and Tom Hiddleston are going out together.
T-Swift, who she's dating. Does she have a diminutive version of her name like some of them do?
I'm
like
sure
J-Lo?
She does.
Or
yeah.
Is she T-Swift? Or that's too close to just Taylor Swift, right? Yeah.
She's probably like Tay-Tay or something. Ooh. Tater.
Ooh.
Tater Swift.
Yeah. And to that, I saw recently where John Mayer was asked in an interview if he was still dating Taylor Swift. You know what he said?
What?
He said no, and then he played a 20-minute guitar solo. I just got all kinds of jokes today.
Light them up. Just light them up. Feed them to me all.
Don't anybody get mad at me. I don't dislike the lady.
She's got a good voice. I mean,
she's great.
Yeah.
You cannot deny that. You cannot listen and not understand this lady was gifted with a voice.
It'd be awesome to see her do something different. with, I mean, just to see what it was like, you know. So you play some slasher metal or something, see how it goes.
Something, some hard rock. I think, and here's the other thing I thought about, too. Kelly Clarkson, who, you know, won American Idol, and she kind of did that, you know.
She got a little harder edge to her.
You could, you would hear her doing different songs, different styles, and they don't all have to be like that. I understand. I mean, you know, you don't want a record that's where maybe every song sounds different. But, I mean, after five, six, eight of these Adele songs, she needs to move on emotionally. I would like to move on musically.
Yeah, it's bad, though, when you can pick out the singer, but you can't pick out the song. Like, if you listen to a song, you go, oh, that's Adele. But I don't have any idea what song that is, you know.
Because they all run together?
Right, or they all sound the same. That Meghan Trainor is like that, too. I mean, you can always tell her voice out of a crowd, but
I thought she was just kind of a rap thing.
Spoken voice thing.
I only heard, like, a few seconds of her bass song, and that's all I know about her.
Yeah. She's got a new one out, but, I mean, it sounds just the same, just exactly like that one.
Well, yeah, that's what I would call, and I would not do this to Adele, but that's what I would call a novelty singer, novelty
one-hit wonder
songs. Yeah. Sort of. It's more gimmicky. You know, like, what am I thinking? Like, Sir Mix-a-Lot or...
Yeah.
It's about the gimmick, the novelty of the song. It's not really, I'm in... for a long career, and I'm going to do all these great things. Although there are Sir Mix-a-Lot fans out there, oh, well, you've never heard this album.
You've never heard the White Album from Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Yeah, this is his White Album, right? Whatever, you know. And I think, you know, if it's good, would have heard it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of artists like that are famous and popular, and I just don't get why. I think their music just sounds like garbage.
Yeah.
And then if you say that, they'll go, oh, well, you know, you haven't heard, you know, this cut off this album, and you need to listen to this. It's usually garbage, too.
You haven't heard him playing live from this Texas bar that I recorded 4 years ago.
If it was any good, if it was any better, I would have already heard it. You know, you can keep mining those deep pools all you want, but sometimes it's just garbage, and you're going to want to go, look, the emperor has no clothes. I'm sorry.
And there's a lot of times you go out to a small venue and hear someone singing, you're like, man, these guys are awesome.
Yeah.
But then
I love small venues.
You know, they'll never make it anywhere, you know.
Yeah, that's true, too. But that's the manufactured nature of the music business, kind of like what we were talking about, how carefully orchestrated.
Yeah.
You know, well, a little bit different now, though. You know, back when I was in my 20s, playing in my death metal band, you know, we would save money. For studio time, we would talk about going in a few months, and you need to save up your $100, and you need to save up yours, and whatever, you know, and it would cost several $100s, and the time was very valuable. I remember going in to record the last time we went in to record, and I was dog sick with the flu, awful sick. And, you know, it wasn't no, we're not going to do it. You do it.
Yeah.
You know, we had to. Now, we could do it right now, too.
Right.
We're sitting here with microphones and a computer, and everybody has that ability now.
You have the internet.
You have the internet to distribute. So,
how many people have been made famous over YouTube, which is completely free, you know?
Over nonsense, even.
Yeah. That Friday song or Chocolate Rain or
PewDiePie. He's not a musician, but that's the first nonsense internet celebrity that came to my mind. He just plays video games, I guess. Does he do anything else?
No, that's it. Chocolate Rain.
Chocolate Rain. Yeah, that's an old one. Uh-huh. You wonder what those people are doing now. You see them every so often. I haven't seen Chocolate Rain.
I saw that guy the other day on a movie. It was a movie called Internet Famous.
Yeah.
And he was on the end of it, just like a little 15-second cameo of him on the end of it, so... I mean, I imagine he's probably doing stuff like that now.
When I first saw that video and saw Chocolate Rain, the impression I got, and it's been a long time now, that guy looked very juvenile. He looked like a kid, but was he or not, though?
Yeah, he was.
Okay. I was thinking maybe it was like he was grown, but he looked like that.
He doesn't look like his voice at all, though.
No.
I mean, unless there's some deep stuff done to the... I mean, because you can do that nowadays with auto-tune and stuff, make it sound however you want to, but...
Yeah, right. Well, that's the other side of that. You don't And we talk about, you know, people who are legitimately talented, recording in their own studios, in their own homes, marketing their own stuff or distributing it on the internet. And the other side of that is, you know, these middle-aged or elderly record execs who go to shopping malls, sit there and wait for one to come by and go, that one will do, put him over here, that one will do, and, you know, y'all want to be in a group?
And just find the prettiest ones.
They just manufacture it, you know, bring them in the studio. No instruments, no singing, no songwriting ability, you know, just stand there, we'll make it happen.
Do you know the only instrument that Ozzy Osbourne can play?
I know he plays harmonica. I know he plays harmonica, right? Because he played on, not Fairies Wear Boots, The Wizard. He played on The Wizard. I'm sitting here talking to myself now. I'm right, right?
Yeah, the harmonica is the only instrument he plays.
I thought he played a little piano, too. I guess not. Yeah, just because I happen to know that he played. When you narrow it to one,
yeah.
Like if you said, can you tell me what instruments he played, I would have said that first, and then piano. I thought
it was amazing because, you know, I mean, give or take, people generally say Ozzy is a good musician, you know, but one instrument, that's it.
He's a really good blues singer, though. I mean, you go back and listen to those old records, he had a very unique voice quality and a unique sensitivity.
Do you think there's going to be people like Prince that can play any instrument they pick up nowadays and have the voice to go? You think those people are still around, or you think?
Yeah. Well, I keep coming back to him, and it's a guy like John Mayer. Is one. That guy's ridiculous good. He's a ridiculous good talent. You know, now some may want to debate, well, he's not Prince. He's not on that level. Well, maybe not. But when you're talking about what I think you're talking about, a guy that can craft a song.
Just natural.
Can work a studio, can play piano, can tear up a guitar, you know, has a good singing voice.
Yeah.
You know, and he's a music school graduate. You know, and that's the thing to me. Music is so strange in the way that we consume it. And it's the only thing that I think is like this in our lives. The way, if you go to a restaurant and you're hungry for a steak and you get a mediocre steak, you're not going to be real excited about going back. Or if you get mediocre service, you're not going to be real excited or inclined to go back. We search out quality in everything. We want, and you can appreciate this, I think, as an artist, and the way people consume even the other arts, you know, we want a high standard of quality. Popular music, though, it doesn't seem to matter. People consume it with no understanding or appreciation of music.
It's just the buzz that surrounds it. If there's more buzz around it,
it's a piece of candy.
Yeah.
And when you try to talk to people like that, or you tell them, or, you know, because I came out of music school, and I'm always analyzing as I'm listening. I'm dissecting what I'm hearing. I cannot help it because it's like somebody that comes in here and speaks a foreign language that you don't understand. But I do. I hear it, and I'm translating. And people will get so mad if you suggest that because they're like, well, I don't know about all that. I just like it. I just like the way it sounds. I just like the beat. And if you listen to the way popular music is tracked, it's become more and more and more just stripped down, overly simplistic, sparse. It almost has gotten to the point where it sounds like it's reverted in or regressed into things that sound like they could be done with a Casio keyboard.
Yeah.
And I just don't get that about us and about music and about why. It's the only thing that I think that we consume, we're not concerned about quality.
Right.
And maybe, and I'm not talking about whether you like it or not, I'm again talking about quality, the instrumentation, the arranging, the level of musicianship, things that.
The polish that's on it.
Yeah. To a degree, not meaning production, but right. Yeah, I follow you. And people will even push back against that I just, if it hits my ear right, that's all I need. That's all they care about. It's kind of like, again, going back to the steak place. You're hungry, you go into the steak place for a good steak, and they bring you out a horrible steak, but you still leave happy because you're full. the steak wasn't any good, but I don't care. I'm full now. I was hungry, and now I'm full. That's all I care about.
Right.
And that seems to be like the way that we consume music. Maybe you're on to something earlier, or the earlier part of this conversation when talking about cycles, especially now, maybe availability and options, because you can instantaneously go one song to the next, to the next, to the next, swipe, you know. So maybe that has something to do with it.
I mean, I imagine
attention span.
The music business has probably changed so much in just the past 20 years from going to someone who, you know, listens to the radio to someone now who can pretty much choose what he wants to hear at any time.
Oh, definitely.
You know, I mean, even with the satellite radios now with no commercials, no interruptions, no anything. I mean,
I don't even understand why people are paying for satellite radio, to be flat honest with you.
Yeah. I mean,
and with the exception of the diehard Howard Stern fans, that's about it.
Yeah.
Beyond that, you know, I have Spotify that costs me a few dollars a month. Mm-hmm. I can listen, and that's for music, and I can listen to any music that I want to at any time. Mm-hmm. And for a couple of dollars more, we upgraded to a family plan. Now Gretchen has it. I can stream and listen to anything in the Spotify catalog that I want to listen to at any time. And as far as talk and things like that go, I have found an app which I love. You need to get Podcast Addict. Mm-hmm. And what it does is it will collect and kind of corral the podcast that you like and listen to from all these different sources and kind of keeps them in one manageable app.
Cool.
It is. So I don't have to go to different places to keep listening to the shows I like. So when I work, you know, I spend several hours in a car or spend my life in a car driving around constantly listening to talk and podcasts and stuff. And it's all free. And I'm like, why would anyone, even satellite radio, why would someone pay for that? Do you have thoughts on that? Did you ever have satellite radio or anything like that?
I never had it. I don't see me getting it. I mean, anytime I want music, I've got it, you know.
Whatever. I mean, again, there are some diehard, back in the day, been there forever, Howard Stern fans.
But you can't have one shock jock keep a whole business in afloat, you know.
Well, and it raises the question, too, why is Stern still doing it?
Yeah.
And I tell you why he's still on. Why is he still signing contracts with companies to be on satellite radio? He could start his own website with his own programming and podcast, and he could get it all.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He could charge whatever he wanted to, and he would carry the fan base. He would make a mint. Not that he needs more money, but if I'm looking at it and I'm him, I'm thinking, why am I doing this? Now, I'll tell you why he's doing it. Because Stern is he's a dinosaur. He is a radio dinosaur purist. And those are, I don't mean this the way it would sound, I'm poor choice of words. They're the worst kind of people, and they're the reason that radio is not going anywhere. That radio is on the way out the door. It's struggling, it's failing, because the purist and the radio guys, the radio people, and I worked for many years in radio. So I'm telling you, I saw this firsthand. They are stuck. They are stuck in a format. And the idea of this podcasting world where anybody can do anything. I mean, look at how schizophrenic, you know, what we do. We go all over the place. We don't have any kind of format.
Now, nobody's telling us what to put on or what not to. You know?
It's mind-blowing. And, of course, now, for a few hundred dollars, a little bit of an investment, I can, you know, outfit my home or my desk with broadcast quality equipment. You know, the sound and the microphones and the compression we use now are just as good as anything. But I constantly have been fine tuning our sound, and most recently in the last two or three things I've been listening to, I'm like, well, we're really getting this dialed in.
Yeah.
And it's impressive to me, even among other podcasts. I don't pat myself on the back too much, but even if you don't like anything about what we're talking about, the one thing I think at this point anybody should recognize is this is going to be the best sounding podcast you're going to hear.
That's right.
It is. It really is. Even some of the big guys. Anyway, back to point.
It's because of my angelic voice that makes it.
It is.
I see Stern though as kind of the guy that just wants to come in there at 6 o'clock in the morning, do his 3 hours and walk out the door, and that's it.
He could do that on. He could do that now. That's what Adam Carolla does. Mm-hmm. He could do that now if he wanted to. He could do it on his own.
Yeah,
and wouldn't have to even to go back and sign contracts and do all this with who is he with? Sirius, mm-hmm. right? Is that right? Yeah. What's the other one?
XM.
Yeah, he's with Sirius. Has been, I guess, still. And a few years ago, in that gap between terrestrial radio and internet, I get it. Mm-hmm. But now, it's just, if it weren't for his core base of listeners, I can't imagine he's bringing any new listeners in.
No.
Can't imagine.
There's too much other stuff. I mean, he's not the only game in town anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And you look at a guy like, you know, Adam Carolla, the pod father, this guy buys a warehouse, outfits it with, when he got fired from his last radio job, I guess K-Rock, or wherever it was he was last.
Was it KTLA?
That's a TV station. Yeah. He was at K-Rock, I think. He was at K-Rock for many years, and I think that's the last place he lived. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he just goes, gets his own warehouse, puts a bunch of his race cars in there because he's into racing, and stores his race cars there too, but has recording studios, and that's where they go and do business. He puts his own content up, supports it with some live appearances, and it's his.
Yeah.
And he's making a mint because he's not an indoctrinated. He did spend many years in radio. He's not an indoctrinated, I'm not moving radio guy. And Stern is one of those. And I know that personality. Mm-hmm. I worked for those people, and I worked in and around that business, and they just will not budge.
So what do you think the future of radio looks like? Do you think there is a future for radio?
I've been away from it for so long, both in employment and as a listener. Mm-hmm. I really don't know.
Because if you think about all the stuff you used to listen to the radio for, your weather, your traffic, your news, music. I mean, 90% of the world's population has it on their phone right now.
That's the thing. If they could do well if the radio business could be saved by a couple of things. One, the radio business and these radio dinosaurs, these purists, seem to have, and this is so strange because it's completely the opposite of television. They have a disdain for talent. They want you to do well, but not too well. And there's always, and I'm not the only one that's experienced it. All my radio friends are out there laughing and nodding their heads now. You know, on television, take for example, whether it's a local programming, a morning show, or even, you know, Jon Stewart on Comedy Central doing the Daily Show. Mm-hmm.
When or the new guy that's talking about the Hogfest.
Will Moore, yeah. I didn't. He's new, so he doesn't quite fit this model that I'm trying to explain. Yeah. So I'm kind of leaving him out for now. He may. When you have talent on television and they do well, TV wants to more.
Right.
Right. The attitude among your TV execs and producers is to throw into talent. If an actor takes off in a television show or whatever, radio, for some reason, is completely the opposite. And there's this disdain for talent, and there's always this mindset of keeping you in your place. And we want you to do well, but don't do too well. Don't go off script. Don't do this. Mm-hmm. This effort to restrain talent. Stick to the format. Read the news, read the traffic, read the weather, read the sports. This time. Read the birthdays, read the obituaries over and over and over again. And in that, I guess I kind of brought around to point two, which is the format. You've got to, how do you do it? How do you get these people to break? Again, it's a deep mindset. It's what they've all grown up in and the way they were taught, the way the business has been. And they just will not shake that off.
So, like, Alan Freed starts working today at a music station. What do you think he does?
Well, how do I put him in that era? He entered at a time when radio was about music. Mm-hmm. I think even now we recognize radio, even though there's still plenty of music stations. Radio still about the more successful radio stations still have talk. Mm-hmm. So that guy, I don't know. He wouldn't have a place.
And I feel like he had like the pulse back then of what was going on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was innovator. Mm-hmm. He was talent, and for what he did to promote the music and things like that. Today, you know, somebody like that pops up again, they're going to be reined in. They're not going to be allowed. And I told this to one of my radio station managers one time, a guy who I love, who was good to me. And I don't mean this as a criticism. I'm just sharing one of our conversations. And I said, look, you have good people working for you. You have talented people. Let them shine. Mm-hmm. I said that to him verbatim. Let them shine. We finished that conversation, and he thanked me for the input and all this, and we went back, and everything was just like it was. And people come and go, and they mm-hmm. cycle out of these jobs, and there's just and maybe disdain is too harsh of a word if my radio friends are listening or my old boss or anything. I don't want that to be insulting. Mm-hmm. There's just not an appreciation of talent like there is in television, and I just don't get it. So, you know, now anybody, again, sort of like music, anybody can go to the internet, make any content you want. It's amazing to me. I listen to, like, when Kevin Smith does his live shows somewhere in the beginning or end, he'll ask in a room full of people who've come to see him, how many of you in here have a podcast? And it'll be 90% of the people in the room.
Yeah.
And he's like, that's great. There is no competition. Mm-hmm. Like, anybody can listen to 100 different things, and they can listen to our thing or somebody else's thing. And even, well, example, you know, like Adam Carolla has done well in the podcast world. Kevin Smith has done well. Those are like the two biggest names that I can think of. Mm-hmm. Because of their success, we do this. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's possible. And they're not competing with each other. We're not competing with them. Nobody's really competing. And that's the other part of the radio thing. You know, always beating the other station for advertisers. Right. Beating them for news. Beating them for... And I'll be honest with you. When I worked in the news radio business, I would get on the phone and I would call and talk to every day my friends that worked at the newspaper and worked at the other radio stations. Outside of the purview of our bosses, we were friends, and we worked stories together. Let me peel back the curtain and show you that. Now, our bosses, our radio station managers, would not have liked that had they known how closely we were working together, because the attitude was, now, this was more about the news radio business as much as it is radio as a whole, but it was, you know, always beat the other person, always beat the other person. You know, they're super hyper-competitive. Mm-hmm. Well, this is kind of what we were being indoctrinated with, but we all kind of talked to each other and said, you know, my news is a lot better, your paper is a lot better, your radio news is a lot better when we talk to each other. It was a better product for all of us. I remember going to some kind of rundown property or trailer park or something that had been neglected by the landlord, and I went with the microphone, and my friend who worked at the newspaper went. We rode there together, went, and she had her pen and her paper and her camera. Mm-hmm. And we worked a story together. And man, I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
And it felt right. But that's not the way they want you to do things. And stick to the format. And to circle back around, your original question was about the future of terrestrial radio. Mm-hmm. Here's your answer. I don't know. Yeah. After having said all that.
You know, I remember when I was a kid that a lot of people wanted to grow up and be DJs on the radio.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's one of those dream jobs that you think of, well, you know, when you're asked as a kindergartner what you're going to be when you grow up, you know, movie star, disc jockey, newspaper reporter, nurse, veterinarian. You know, I mean, it's all in there. And I don't see that these days. You know, I don't see kids that want to grow up and be disc jockeys.
We don't do things that way these days, though.
Yeah.
When you hear, you know, again, let me peel back the curtain, and most people are probably smart enough to know this anyway. When you leave here today, you get in your car, you go turn on the local classic rock station or the local country music station. After a couple of songs, you'll hear a voice jump in, you know, hey, this is so-and-so, whoever the on-air person is. Coming up next, we got this and coming up then and then, and he'll check out. He'll come back a couple of songs later. Those liners are all pre-recorded now. You can go out to that radio station and drive by. There's not going to be anybody there. The idea of a DJ working a shift is gone. Doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Everything is automated. And the next progression of that, because the last few years when I worked, the DJs would go into the production studio and record their liners for the rest of the night. And honestly, because you think about how you hear those little spots in between songs, those liners, they're not very long, right?
Right.
A few, 15 seconds, 20 seconds, maybe 30 if they include some kind of current events story or whatever. They sit down and knock them out in a half hour. You know what I mean? And click, 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 talk, click, 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 talk. And they're automated in between songs. Now, do we even do that anymore? Now you have the radio stations have satellite services that pipe in pre-programmed music.
Muzak.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you've seen the station recently, in the recent past, I know there's one locally that sort of changed their format. They went from like a classic rock to a classic hits. And that's largely what they're doing. Now they just sign a contract with some company. They turn their transmitters, receivers, whatever we have, the translators, whatever we have. They're all different things. But and then from another company from somewhere else, I guess it's a satellite feed, they program your music. And then you're hearing liners from people that aren't even local. Used to be the things that were keeping people hanging on to local radio were local news. And I had an advantage there because I had a deadline every hour. At the bottom of every hour, I had a 2 or 3 minute block to bring news. So, you know, the newspaper where we were in a rural area, the newspapers all came out once or twice a week.
Right.
So I'm going to beat everybody anyway. That was another reason I didn't really have that competitive spirit.
Right.
Like, I don't really need to beat them. You know, I'm going to every day.
Yeah.
Your news, weather, traffic, sports. Okay. And as you have correctly identified, where do people go for their news now? They're looking on their phones, looking on their computers. I have an app that tells me the weather.
Right.
Right. I have a Waze traffic app that even tells me why I'm stuck in traffic. Honestly, and this is kind of sad, the only things that I saw at the radio station, the radio business when I left that were still unique and offered there that maybe weren't available other places were birthday announcements and obituaries.
Yeah.
And I pushed back against doing obituaries. I would do a drive time newscast, news sports at drive time in the 5 o'clock hour, right? When people are in their cars driving home or whatever. On a station that was basically they called it adult contemporary. It was basically top 40.
Top 40.
All the stuff we were just talking about earlier, those are the songs you would have heard. And in the middle of a drive time news broadcast on a top 40 pop music station on a powerful FM station, there was a break in there to read Miss So-and-so will be interred in the local It just seemed, because I'm imagining the people who are listening, and you talk about format, that never seemed, but that's, it just seems so out of place, but that's what people want to hear. And they want, if you, the obituaries were sponsored by advertisers.
I remember, you know, I was in the newspapers for just a little while out of high school. But I remember the obituaries, the sports page, and the comics were the only thing people read in the newspaper.
Yeah.
I mean, most popular was the obituaries, first thing they went to.
I don't know. I've not been in the radio business now since 2010 was when I last left my last radio job. I've been in and out several times. So I don't have the finger on the pulse, as you say. On the inner workings, I don't know what the conversations are going on now. And I just plain flat don't listen to the radio. So I don't really know. I don't know what other people are listening to. I don't know if they listen to radio or not. Mm-hmm. Do you?
I, since I have three daughters, I don't have control of the radio anymore in my car, but they listen to country music, which doesn't sound anything like country music anymore and sounds more poppy. But I don't pay any attention to the people that are talking in between anymore, which I remember I used to pay attention to. You know, we had, what was it, Mark and Kim and Frank in the morning in Knoxville. Mm-hmm. And I was like an everyday listener to them because it was right on the time I was driving to work. So, but I mean, I don't pay attention to stuff like that anymore.
Hmm. Well, let's see what else we can move on to. I'm still not sure I really answered your question. I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. Mm-hmm. Other than I'm still mystified as to why. Not really. I mean, I understand him, but why in the world Stern will not move off even satellite radio
mm-hmm.
to do his own thing? Why he continues to do contracts with Sirius and all that kind of. Is Howard coming back? Is he doing this? Is he doing that?
They probably treat him like a king over there, though. You'd imagine he's keeping their whole thing afloat.
But still, nobody could treat you as well as you treat yourself. Why deal with them at all?
He may be one of those types where just likes to have people to just worship
him. He's a radio dinosaur.
Yeah.
He's a radio dinosaur. He's not going to get on the internet. He's not going. He podcasting to him is not broadcasting.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's a broadcaster, so he thinks. We're broadcasters
mm-hmm.
at this point. Anybody doing this, if you're broadcast, but that's not, his mind doesn't work that way. His mind is very different.
Yeah.
He's a dinosaur. Okay, so I went back to the dentist. I thought it was going to be my last trip. No.
No.
He wants me to come back. He wants to do some more fillings. So,
what was the music playing this time?
Oh. Was it Elvis? It was. I was trying to think if I talked about it with you or Gretch. It was with Gretch. He had just recently, it's awful how familiar I'm becoming with his music habits and his purchases and his playlist, but he had, I guess, purchased some kind of Elvis compilation,
mm-hmm.
and apparently when he did, he didn't realize like it had a squillion songs on it.
Uh-huh.
So when he put it on, what do you call, not rotate, but shuffle.
Shuffle, yeah.
It had so many songs on it.
It took over the shuffle. Just,
yeah. It was like Elvis song after Elvis song after Elvis song. And I heard four or five, you know, while I'm sitting there waiting on him. He comes in and he's like, he told the assistant, he's like, you got to go change that. And I was like, we were laughing. I said, yeah, a little bit of Elvis goes a long way, right? Like Adele, a little bit of Adele goes a long way.
It seems like I remember now that when Arnold Schwarzenegger had his offices in California, he played, I'm thinking it was a Foo Fighter song, but it was one song over and over and over. And I mean, every, like he would just play it on repeat all the time.
Because he liked it,
yeah.
I guess.
Uh-huh.
There wasn't any other.
No, it was just the same song over and over and over again.
Yeah. Yeah, now to call back Adele again, I guess. And I'm like that with Elvis, too, sort of. But like with Adele, I told Gretchen, I said, it's like pancakes.
Hmm.
You think you really want pancakes.
Right.
And those first few bites are really good, but by the time you get toward the end, you're absolutely sick of them.
Right.
And you never want pancakes again. So, yeah, so I go back, and my appointment was at 10.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was at 9:30. My appointment was at 9:30. And you know I complained in here before about them running late, and mm-hmm. that first visit we had to wait for so long. And here's some of the things that I observed on my last visit and some of the reason that this happens. And if this is you, a pox on you and your household.
Get dentures. If you're
one of the people that are doing this, knock it off. So I go in and they have the sign-in sheet. And you sign in for the time that your appointment was.
Right.
Time you arrived.
Right.
So I put my appointment time at 9:30. We got there at 9:15. Up above that, and I come walking in. There's two ladies mm-hmm. sitting in there, two people sitting in there already. And I'm like, oh, no, this is not a good sign.
Right.
So I'm signing in, and I'm looking up. Their names are right above mine. They mm-hmm. have just come in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Their appointments, both of them, were for 9 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
One of them came in at 9:05.
Mm-hmm.
The other one came in at 9:10 or 9:15 as well. Had just walked in before. And their appointments were at 9.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I ain't that good a Christian sometime, but I held my tongue because I almost wanted to take it and go, really? Hold it in front of him and go, really?
You know, one time I had to go to Memphis to a doctor, to a neurologist in Memphis, and his name was Dr. Tullio Bertarini. If you ever...
It's interesting that you remember that.
Tullio.
How long has that been?
Oh, gosh. It's been 5 years ago.
Okay. I would not be able to recall that name.
You know, I remember his name is that he called in on a TV talk show I saw one time.
Oh, he was kind of a personality.
Yeah. No, okay. What was it? They called him the leader of the Bike Enthusiast League of Memphis. The Bicycle Enthusiast League.
Oh, okay.
So he was talking about the new bike trail in the park or whatever. But Tullio Bertarini. So we're driving down there in Memphis, which is a good 2.5 hours away with good traffic. And we leave in plenty of time to get down there. And as soon as we hit Memphis, one of my daughters throws up on the other daughter.
Oh, no.
So now we have to stop, get them cleaned up, get back out on the road, hit traffic jam. So by the time I got there, I was an hour late for my appointment. And I called and everything and tried to tell him, you know. But he almost didn't see me. I was like, man, this is a 3-hour drive to get down here.
Yeah.
And so he finally did. We had to wait forever to get in there. But, man, I hate being late for doctor's appointments because you know they're standing there waiting.
And I'm glad that you did get in. But you would have understood.
Oh, yeah. Completely.
And because talking to Gretchen about it after, I'm like, you need to have a policy. Look, if you come in here. You come in here, you know, 15 minutes, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't know how liberal you want to be with it. You come in here, maybe even stretch it to a half hour. You come in here that late. I don't know. I wouldn't do it that long.
Right.
Because even a few minutes puts you off for the entire day. It's like, you know, or you can decide whether or not you want to come back, though. I don't know. I'm the type of person that I probably wouldn't have a lot of customers.
No.
Telling people to be patient.
You got to think that those are... the customer, and the customer's always right. And if you want patients to come in, you're going to have to deal with a little bit.
But they're not, though.
Hmm?
But they're not.
Well.
I'm the customer.
Right.
I'm the patient.
Mm-hmm.
And you know full well, if those ladies came in, and I was sitting in there, and they had to wait, they'd be mad.
Yeah.
They'd be on their podcast talking about that guy that.
They probably don't got a podcast.
Well, they don't think anything about it, man. So, yeah. Although it didn't delay us very much, all I had to do this time anyway was have crown put. I was talking about my crown being prepared, so I got my porcelain crown in now. So I see now I'm nervous because it's in there and it's now the tooth after 3 or 4 visits. That awful tooth is now repaired and got the crown on it. And
is there no better feeling than having a tooth that's like bad? And then they fix it, and you're like, oh, gosh.
Well, I've had relief from it for a while. You know, after that first visit, I had some relief from the pain. But I say now I don't know if I can go back to Milk Duds or not.
Yeah. What were those things that used to be the worst? Crumb. Was it Sugar Daddies?
Yeah, those were
horrible.
Super,
yeah,
super chewy.
Uh huh.
Like honey and toffee and whatever it was. Yeah, I don't even go near those on a good day. So.
No, I mean they're gross, but I couldn't imagine.
Well, we're going to come back and do. I guess we'll do our game pod next. Now, Gretchen and Nate have their own appointments for the dentist coming up here in a couple of weeks, a week or so. They're going to get cleanings. I told her, I said, Nate needs a filling. So I don't think she knew that. So he's probably going to get a filling while he's there, too. And I'm interested, too, because I want to hear them. They'll come back with stories.
Right.
You can find out what they hear.
The dental stories.
Yeah. Well, now, because I've been the only one, you know, behind the curtain, as it were. So now they get to go in here, too. But when I left this last visit, which I thought was supposed to be my last one, they were like, oh, no, you need a couple more fillings. I was like, no.
What if they're like, Gretchen Chafin? You know, we got another Chafin that comes in here. Boy, he's a pain in the butt. He's just always in here complaining.
No way, dude.
I'm complaining about the music. And
I'm keeping them in the money. I'm not complaining about it. He hasn't played any just horrible music or anything like that. Or even when it comes, like Elvis, we both seem to be in agreement. So that's cool. But it'll be interesting now. They'll get to experience that world back there in the dental office, the dentist radio station. Bring him, ask him about music. I'm sure he's probably got some good ideas or anything. And you know what's interesting is I can tell this is from years of being a musician. I can tell if I spend long enough with somebody's music selection, I can almost tell what instrument they play.
Yeah.
And I'm convinced, I'm going to have to ask him to see if I'm right. If not, I'll look like a complete fool. I'm convinced my dentist is a bass guitar player.
Oh, those are the worst.
I'm convinced he's a bass guitar player from his weird combination and selection.
Yeah. Bass players are weird.
Why do you say that?
Man, I've known like 3 or 4 bass players, and they're all just a little off. They're like not all together.
I played bass guitar in a death metal band for 10 years. You know, point, so you didn't know proven. What I. Oh, okay. Yeah. Guitar was my first instrument.
Believable.
Yeah. Anyway. So yeah, that will bring Nathan back. He's been out for most of the summer visiting other family and stuff. So he'll be back for that. We'll do that here in a couple of weeks, and we're going to play Super Fight and. You're jazzed for Super Fight.
Man, I was watching it on the YouTube, and I was like, oh, this is my game. And I'm not competitive at all when it comes to games, but I was like, yeah, I'm going to win this one.
We're going to give it a shot. Yeah, I told you, I think that the skills required, I think, are in your wheelhouse.
Yeah.
I think you'll do well. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we'll call it a day for now and bring this one home. And I'm Pastor Dave, sitting with Randall the Armor Bearer. We are
They That Believe.
Apologies to Adele.
Hello. Say time's supposed to heal, yeah, but I ain't done much healing. Hello, can you hear me? I'm in California dreaming about who we used to be when we were younger.